Hi, I'm Chris Carter, creator of The X-Files, and you're listening to The X-Cast.
Welcome back, everybody, to The X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm Tony Black, your host, and we are undertaking our second day of X-Files Season 10 coverage, and joining me today, once again, is Tania Hernandez.
Hello. Hello again.
Thank you for rejoining me. You were here when we began talking about My Struggle and Mulder. And who are we talking about today, Tania?
Well, we're going to talk about the enigmatic Dana Scully.
The one, the only, Dana Catherine Scully. obviously, you know, we're focusing on My Struggle. And when we first see Scully, she is still at the Our Lady of Sorrows Hospital, which was where she started working as a doctor in I Want to Believe.
That's right, yep.
She's actually the first one we see before Mulder, when she gets a call from Skinner asking her to get Mulder to attend a meeting with Tad O'Malley. And I think immediately with Scully, first off, Gillian Anderson has changed a lot, hasn't she? Since, you know, the show and the last movie. I don't know if you watched Hannibal.
Yes, I did.
But it's very... whenever I look at Gillian Anderson now, I can't get that character out of my head. Very poised and very controlled, you know, and that kind of thing. And she still has a little bit of that. The way she speaks now and the way she plays Scully has slightly changed. Yeah. And it's come with age, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, not just because she's done so many different characters since the end of the show, but you would imagine that since Scully's not working in that crazy FBI basement office environment, that she's probably become more of what, I guess, maybe what she thought she was going to be before she joined the FBI. So she's kind of developed into this, you know, other person. She's a doctor, you know, like a proper doctor working in a hospital.
Yeah.
Just doing the same routine, probably, you know, day in and day out. You see your patients, you do your surgeries, you follow up. Not the wild and crazy stuff that he used to do. I mean, when you think about it now, it's like, wow, like that is the complete different, like the complete, I guess the person that she had hoped, or her father had hoped she would be.
Yeah.
Back then when he's like, you know, why are you in the FBI? And she's like, well, I like it, you know, type of person. And he's like, oh, but you could be a doctor. So like she became that, you know. So it probably, you know, changed her, the way her presents herself. You know, obviously it's going to be such a big change from the Scully that we knew.
Yeah.
Working in the FBI, so.
It was the logical thing, really, to put her in there. And, you know, as we talked about in the last episode with Mulder, it made sense, I think, for her to leave him as well. When they were living in that house, you know, I Want to Believe, it didn't feel right, because obviously they came together, you know, as this platonic friendship that grew into more with the you know, the drive of the cases and the X-Files. And then when she's in that house with a man who is growing older, who's just completely surrounded by conspiracies and all this madness, she would want something else, I think.
Right.
And interestingly enough, there's a hint of this, but there is some kind of relationship with Tad O'Malley that we don't know about yet, which I think is very interesting. Did you pick up on that line?
Yes.
Where he says to her, I'm just happy to see you again. And she looks at him. And nothing else is done with that for the rest of the episode. But there's a suggestion that they know each other of old. Mm. And what strikes me with him, and we will get to talking about him more, but what strikes me with him is he's exactly the kind of guy, in many respects, that Mulder was when he was that age.
Right.
Obviously, right. Mulder was a lot less right-wing and, you know, awful of human being. but right. He had that sort of, that charisma, that sort of drive. And Tad O'Malley, for whatever his politics, he has that. You can see why she might be attracted to a man like that.
Right.
I think. Right. Anyway, I don't know about you.
Intrigued, for sure. See where this... But I think a part of her was also curious as to what he was up to. You know, like what his intentions are, because as much as I'm sure she's like, you know, enjoys the attention of a gentleman, a young gentleman, you know, vying for her affections.
She's a woman of a certain age now, isn't she?
Right. You know, and she's a woman of a certain age, so she might be like, ooh, you know. But I also feel like she kind of had that meeting, that dinner or whatever it was with him, to kind of gauge what his intention is, because I could tell too, like, you know, when she has that encounter with Mulder at his house and is like, he's a charming man, but he's full, you know, he's full of deceit or whatever. She kind of went out with him too to kind of gauge to see what his intention was, because I still think that she's kind of had a protective thing over Mulder to make sure, like, this is not going to be another person taking advantage of this guy who's like in a depressive state and will just believe anything at this point, you know, that anyone comes to him with saying the right, you know, the right trigger words to get Mulder going, you know what I mean? So I think, you know, a part of it was she was intrigued that, you know, a nice young man was after, but I think also a part of it was kind of her kind of way to like scope out, see what this guy, what this guy's intention is.
Being protective. I think that makes complete sense, because she always was. But the other key interesting dynamic, obviously, between Scully, for Scully as well as outside of Mulder and Tad, is with Sveta, who's the alien, this apparent alien abductee, the young woman who Mulder at least investigated when she was a child.
Right.
And obviously, you know, Scully, when Sveta is brought to them and explains the whole thing of how she was abducted, Scully takes her to be tested. And you get this really interesting scene where it appears that Sveta is reading her mind.
Right.
And it allows for lots of callbacks to Scully's own abduction. There's that great moment where she says, you'd never understand what it's like. And Scully just looks at her, read my mind.
Yeah. Like, read me, bitch.
Yeah.
Come on now. And she's like, oh, well, maybe you do understand. I was like, yeah, Scully.
That was so cool.
And,
that was just...
and then she used her wonderful medical bedside manner to just stick that needle right at her arm.
Yeah.
And like, stop it. Like, you know, enough. Enough is enough. I know ways to make you hurt without making it look like I hurt you, you know?
I've learned that over the years, yeah. But she obviously is the catalyst to remind people of how Scully was abducted and everything happened to her as well, which was obviously such a big part of the X-Files and the mythology of the X-Files over the years. It feels like it makes sense to actually bring that point back onto the table even more and have that be quite important to whatever this is about, whether it's that it turns out to be a human conspiracy using alien, you know, devices, which is what this episode suggests.
Right.
But I like the fact that they brought that back on the table and they reminded everyone, well, you know, this did happen to Scully, so whatever is going on with
it, she hasn't forgotten it.
Yeah, exactly. Still
very much, you know, does not deny it anymore.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, back then, which it's funny, I was recently rewatching that season where, I think I'm in season 4, where she discovers that she has the cancer.
Yeah, season 4, yeah.
And stuff. And they go to find the alien abductees and stuff. And she's still saying, you know, I don't remember a lot of it. But in this episode, you see, okay, she knows that this happened to her, where before she used to deny it, or at least try to deny it. But like in this episode, she's for sure, it's like, yes, I remember. I know what that I know what that's like. That happened to me. I understand.
Yeah.
You know, and I know what to look for.
Yeah.
So like, you're not going to pass any BS past me. Like, this is not going to get past me because I already know.
I'm too long in the tooth for this.
Right.
Yeah.
For this. Yeah. You're not going to pull me in like, you know, these two guys who will fall for anything. You know what I mean? Which is great. That was always the great thing about Scully. She was always that balance, you know, to kind of legitimize all these claims, you know. So,
but that's exactly what she does, you know, apart from the fact that she, quite logically, after what Sveta says, tests them both for the alien DNA, given they both apparently have gone through the same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
She also then is the balance point when Mulder, who's completely been sucked in by Tad and his new age conspiracy, they lay all this out there in a very... It reminded me completely, that scene reminded me of Redux. This whole episode reminded me of Redux in season 5, which was the one, if you remember, where Mulder meets Michael Crichgau and he gets told all the Cold War, you know, cover up, the apparent truth that there was no aliens and it was all, it was so much like a new version of Redux. Like, Chris Carter loved that idea back in the day and he just wanted to revisit that in a certain extent.
Yeah.
But she now is the one who is listening to what sounds like, to some extent, a more plausible conspiracy than an alien race coming to enslave the world with DBEs born out of
black oil.
Yeah, but if anything, that she believes that more than the idea of a a new world order about to take control of America.
Right. That's funny.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah. That's pretty funny now that you say it like that. Like, yeah, she was kind of skeptical at first about that. She's like, come on, like, what? You know? And yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. You're going to believe the aliens are going to come instead? Like, when did that happen? That's always Scully. Like, she,
yeah.
You know, it takes her a while to believe the fantastic, but then after experience it, not completely fully, because she never saw the alien ship in the sky, but
no.
Seeing some kind of evidence of that, eventually she comes around to it. And then when there's something even more fantastic than what she finally just got to accept, it's like, no, that's too much. That's too much, yeah. You know?
But I think it makes sense because for two reasons. Scully, especially in the later days of the X-Files, the series, she saw a lot of stuff that was incontrovertible. And when Mulder went out of the picture and Doggett came in and Reyes, Scully became the believer in many respects, and she struggled with that, and she grappled with being that. But I always remember the episode where Mulder disappears within, I think it is, or without, when she turns, Doggett's like asking what's going on, and she turns around and said, he's alien, he's a bounty hunter. She just says it with complete confidence that he's alien. And Doggett's like, what? You know, and there's that whole thing of, that always sticks in my head because that was the point I thought, yeah, she knows this is true now. She can't, she's seen enough. So for now, years later, to be told, well, that was all a lie. What was actually going on was a right-wing extremism conspiracy by human men flying invisible ships. I think she would go, nah.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I believe that for Scully. And not just because she's the skeptic and Mulder's the believer, but I believe that she would react that way. Because it's too much. It's Mulder being, in her eyes, completely sucked in by something he's desperate to believe.
Else. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that works.
Yeah. I thought it worked pretty well.
Yeah.
But then, you know, again, she finds the evidence and is like, all right, I'm on board.
Yeah.
You know?
She obviously, then she also finds that she has alien DNA. Mm-hmm. What the hell is that about?
Well, I want to know what it is that she was looking for that shows that, okay, these are the two things that we have in common that a normal person who has not been abducted doesn't have.
Yeah.
But I just go with it. Like, okay.
You kind of have to, don't you, really?
I would assume that maybe there was something that she saw before that her and William had shared.
Yeah.
That identified that in him. So that's what she was looking for. I mean, they didn't really go into too much detail, which is understandable, fine, because then you would have to go back into season 8 and 9, and that's a whole mess. So, but we'll just say, okay, she knew what she was looking for, and she ended up finding it.
And she found it. The question now, obviously, is at what point did she get alien DNA? Was it when she was impregnated with William, whether or not that was...
Or when she was abducted.
Or when she was abducted, has she had it all this time? But why has she never detected that before, when she had all the medical tests and all the cancer and everything like that? Why has that only been seen now? Like you said, was she looking for something specific that she'd never looked for before? You know, there's lots of questions. It also actually plays into a very intriguing question, which was when... Do you remember... In Clyde Bruckman's final repose, which was the season 3.
Season 3, that he says you don't die.
You don't die. Now, Chris Carter was asked about this recently.
Okay.
And he said, because somebody said, oh, he's Scully immortal. And he said, wait till episode 6.
Ooh. Yeah. Really?
He did. He said, there might be something in My Struggle 2 about that. So could that be the fact that she has some sort of alien DNA? Could this be part of it? And as to something that she won't age, or something has changed in Scully that in theory she may not age or she may not die. So,
wow.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. We'll part
oh my
that.
God, I can't wait.
Yeah, but we'll be back from My Struggle 2, hopefully. So we will revisit this in a few weeks.
I knew that I had read an article where he mentioned that the first My Struggle is like focused on Mulder's struggle to believe and stuff, and that the second one will be focused on Scully's struggle that she's dealt with. But I didn't read that. I missed that article. Wow.
Yeah.
Well then, does that mean he's really going to die of autoerotic asphyxiation? My God.
Well, the way he was going, it's possible. He is on his own again now, remember.
Right? I know. God forbid.
Who knows?
I wonder if that goes through Scully's mind sometimes, like when during the time that she was separated from him, like, oh my god, I hope I don't like go to visit him and I find that damn you, Clyde.
He's ended up as David Carradine. Yeah,
yeah.
It's you never know, anything's possible.
Oh, that's
but
funny.
Let's hope not. it was in the. You can find that article actually on the XCast Facebook. If you look through all the articles that are on there, there is the article. I think it's something like Variety or Entertainment Weekly where it's on there anyway. If you look back a few weeks, so. Interesting.
I'm gonna read that.
Have a look because
I missed that one.
It's only a little thing he says, but yeah, it's there. So,
Nice.
So we will return to Scully. Obviously, we're going to be talking about Mulder and Scully for each episode when we do these. But we will be getting to this, and we'll get back into Scully. But right now, obviously, she's back on the X-Files with Mulder. She's back as part of the team, and like Mulder's back, Scully's back, and it's exciting to have them back together.
That's awesome. I can't stop getting giddy.
I know. Sorry. Yeah, no, don't ever be sorry. We do have a little bit of feedback actually. We asked on Twitter what people thought of My Struggle, and we're going to spread out some of the feedback. But so we had a tweet from who's known as X-File at Sylvia Santamari, and she said that she was amazed by both episodes. She loved the turn the mythology took in the first one. And the subject of the second one, which we'll be covering in a few days, the subject of the second one, you made her cry her heart out.
Yeah.
So I don't think she'll be alone in that thinking, to be fair.
Yeah, it didn't help either that the official X-Files Twitter kept like putting these GIFs up that was like just heart-wrenching from the episode. And they're like, how are you feeling right now? And I'm like, oh my god, stop it.
I'm in bits.
You know, I just say too that another reason why I'm loving that the series is back nowadays is how all of us can interact with each other at such an instant pace with Twitter. And I mean, the tweet, like, I was watching the episodes with my Twitter feed open and just reading everything and just talking to people. Like, I don't know. I think it just brought a really big sense of community back that I haven't had in so long in terms of like the X-Files. You know, I know we had the forums back in the day, you know. But with Twitter and the fact that Fox realizes that and they're so engaging in the fans too, it's just been fantastic. I think that helped make the episode even more like more celebratory. Mm. I feel in the X-File community because you know I was just enjoying it. It was like I was watching it in a giant auditorium with a bunch of people, like I did before. You know what I mean?
Yeah, completely. And I think what I have to say is on the subject of this, I think the marketing has been outstanding for this.
Unfreaking believable. More
brilliant.
So like, whereas it is completely different, and it has to, I guess, give credit to the people that are in charge of Fox right now. Wanted this to happen.
Yeah.
Whereas the last time when the last movie came out. You know, it was put in the middle of the summertime where it didn't belong there, up against gigantic, like it was kind of thrown away.
Yeah,
you know, it was kind of a throwaway, like, all right, here, you know, we'll just make a couple of bucks off of it. Whereas this one, like, you can tell, like, the executives wanted this and they're pushing for this.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of, they're all over these magazines, they're doing all these press tours, and they had a freaking premiere party that was like movie status, red carpet. Like it was amazing. Like I was so excited, and it just makes this even more of a celebration of how awesome this show is and how awesome the fandom is.
Yeah,
and you know how I feel like they're really thanking the fans for being there for the show. You know, because what I kept reading in a lot of these articles was that, you know, this was a show that saved Fox at a time when Fox was like the laughing stock of television at the time, you know. You know, they couldn't get a show going. They, you know, had a couple of comedy hits, Simpsons and Married with Children, but they couldn't get a real like hour long program going.
Yeah.
And this was the show that saved them, essentially, you know, and made them like legit, you know.
Definitely.
Other channels started taking notice. So I am just happy that it came out now at the time that it did, because it really is like a big celebration, you know. And if it doesn't continue, like, I would be happy that this happened anyway.
Yeah.
You know, whereas the last time when, you know, I mentioned it before, when you left the movie at the end of the last movie, you were like, all right, well, I guess that's it.
Yeah. And it was, you know, Is that it?
Yeah. It was kind of a bummer, whereas this, like, I will be, even if they say, okay, we're not going to do it anymore, I would be happy.
Yeah.
With this.
No, I know. But I think the way it's going, obviously, as I said in the last episode, the ratings have been through the roof.
Through the roof.
Absolute. For the first two have been absolutely out of this world. Mm-hmm. So if that continues, quite honestly, they've probably already secured themselves another run if everyone wants to do it, based on the opening ratings alone. So because the numbers are astronomical. So if it continues, and there's every suggestion that even if they might not reach the heights of this weekend, they will still do very well. Then Fox are going to be all over Chris Carter saying, come on, let's do it again.
Another little run.
Yeah, let's do another six. Gillian will commit to another six because she didn't want to do more than that. David Duchovny's all over it. He loves doing it.
I hope they can convince her to do a little more. I want 10. 10 is a nice number.
Maybe.
10 is a good number.
I think it'd be nice to get a bit more than six, but I think they'd need to talk her into it a bit, and she would need to see, because she's talked a few times about how she doesn't quite get fandom, and it was only really when there was the 2013, I think it was, the Comic Con or whatever she went to, and she saw the fandom, that she started to go, oh, okay, well, maybe there is a point then to this, but it takes her a while.
And she had been out of the fandom for quite a while too, up until that point,
she'd moved on, hadn't she?
Yeah, she really moved on. She was, doing theater and all these BBC shows and stuff. So she wasn't in that realm anymore. Like, she wasn't in that fervor anymore. Mm. But I'm glad. I think she's seeing it, because it seems like she's even having fun with it, with some of the tweets that she's putting up on Twitter to David, and about the ante room and stuff like that, like, and having fun with the fans and stuff like that. I think she's in it. I think they could get a couple more episodes out of her.
She talked, I agree. She's talked about how she's starting to embrace the iconic nature of it, because they've both been through this. David Duchovny went through it when the show was still going on, that he didn't like the fact that he was potentially going to be typecast, or he was going to be known for one thing, and he rejected it then. And then he's got to the point much, much more sooner than Gillian, in that he's realised this is what I will be remembered for,
this is,
and that's
a good
great.
Thing.
And and I love it, and I'm going to embrace it. It's taken her a bit longer, but I think she's finally got to the point, and she said it recently in an interview, that she started to see what it is for what it is. She started to realise how iconic she is as a character, and she's now embracing it as well, which means that while they're still convincingly of a certain age that they can get away with this, which is probably for about another 5 years before they really start to look a bit old for this, then they should keep doing them. And we can only pray they will.
definitely.
But that was day two of our season 10 coverage. We will be back tomorrow, to be talking about two of the more interesting new My Struggle guest characters. We're going to be talking about Tad O'Malley and Sveta. So we'll get more into that then. So thanks, Tanya.
Thank you very much, Tony. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And everyone, we will see you tomorrow for day three. Remember, trust no one.